major league team in a major league city. The new crew.
This is to us. This is to Columbus. This is what this is all about. Unity. Columbus. History. The future. The new era. The new crew. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. And it's all because you guys like to drink beer.
Live from Horsham Town, Ohio,
you are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of news and information for your Horsham Town crew.
And it is the Massive Report. Good evening and welcome to it. My name is Matt Goschert. Welcome to the show this evening. We are brought to you by Landgram Brewing Company and live at Hendox, as we are pretty much every single Monday night, or if you're Greg, every night.
Pretty much.
He's not crawled up in the corner this time, so it's good. It's good.
Baby steps. I'm actually here for the beginning of an episode.
Baby steps to the elevator.
For the first time in ages.
Baby steps out the elevator. Baby steps to the sidewalk. Greg Benson's here with me. Morgan Hughes is here with me. Alex Stanek is here with me. And Sam Fahmy is here with me hitting the buttons. We're not even going to get into the dog name thing until at least the second segment. So, yeah.
By the time anyone listens to this, this is already blown up. So.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But we're gonna save this one. So if you don't know what we're talking about, just wait. Just wait. It only gets weirder from here. The crew drop a result to the Portland Timbers on Saturday night in front of a sold out Mapfre Stadium.
Stop it! We're trying to record a show here, Alex.
don't Twitter and podcast.
Yeah,
people.
No Twitter and podcast. Phones down.
I'm sorry,
Alex. It can wait.
Crew dropper results to the Portland Timbers by a score of 2-1. A lot of stuff to talk about in this one. A lot of legends were back for it. Tebow Sweat had a great showing with the banners. A very fun event until you look at the results on the field. And I want to start with you, Alex. Your thoughts on Saturday's matchup against Portland.
Portland did a really good job of shutting Kai Kamara down. Mm-hmm. And they also did a really good job of shutting our wings down. Ethan Finley and Justin Aram were both essentially completely neutralized. Kai had very few chances. The chances he did have, he didn't do particularly well on, except for the one set piece. It was a weird game. I'm not sure. I haven't watched the replay yet, so I'm not entirely sure what all went wrong, but they just didn't seem right. I don't know if it was the way Portland set up. I think that was a component in it for sure, but I'm not sure we came out with the kind of intensity that we needed to win that game.
Morgan.
Hi there, Matt. Very excited to be here, first of all. Ready to talk some Zog soccer. Back to you, Matt.
All right, Greg. I'm just going to start skipping him whenever he does that from now on.
It happens every show.
Yeah, I know.
Anyone who does that, meaning Morgan, all the time, and nobody else ever.
Morgan, give me your thoughts.
I don't know that if you would have been watching that game and it was just like a blank jersey, you wouldn't think that that had been the Revs or Philly or Montreal or anybody else that really plays us that kind of high press, counterattack, you know, physical way. And it was a frustrating game. A win would have put us at the top of the league.
Yeah,
not just the Eastern Conference, but you know, LA's winning the leading the Supporter Shield chase. You know, not even talking about games in hand, but it would have put us at 50 points, and we would have
50 points and even with LA on games in hand.
Yeah,
I mean, it would have. There's other teams with games in hand, but it would have put us at 50 points, tied with LA.
Yeah,
both playing 31 games, both with three games remaining.
Yeah, so it's disappointing, and you know, I didn't really see the best out of Tony Chani and Justin Miram, even though they both had individual moments where they looked really good. It just seemed like the pressure gets to Miram for sure, but Chani, it was kind of baffling a little bit. that he didn't shine in his normal capacity of, you know, regaining possession. Just frustrating all-around game. Matt, back to you.
Greg.
The guys who are normally very, very good and carry the crew in games, be it the wingbacks, be it Tony Chani, be it Kai Kamara, all of these guys, Portland did their homework. This was a game that I felt like everything pointed to a game that the crew were going to lose, unfortunately. It's like, hey, here we are with a chance to move into a tie for first in the league. It's a sold-out night. There's a big halftime homecoming thing. We're playing well. Portland's not playing well. Trap, trap, trap. Not the player. The actual thing. And that's exactly what happened. They'd done their homework, and they knew how to frustrate the crew into making mistakes. It was one of those games, Morgan said at best, is frustrating, because I don't think the crew played particularly badly enough that against most teams in the league that would have been, you know, a result not going the other way.
You look at the standings now, and you've got New York and New England are ahead of us at this point. We're tied with New England. Total goals, and fortunately for me, because it's super helpful, the MLS app doesn't tell me total goals scored. My assumption is that New England has more because they're higher up and lower in alphabetical order than us, but that's as good of a guess as anyone's, and I have an LG phone, so it doesn't work. But...
Hold on, let me look it up on my LG phone. Matt. Yeah. Give me just one second.
Okay. You do that. Yeah, you do that. Yeah.
I mean, we have three games remaining, so does New England. New England plays at Chicago, home against Montreal, and at NYCFC, whereas, you know, we play at NYRB, Toronto, and home against DC. Far tougher of a schedule than New England.
This would have been good for us, though, to pick up 3 points on New York Red Bulls with their shellacking from Orlando.
Yeah, they just left it out there for us, you know.
I don't feel bad about that was, 5-2 loss from Orlando at this point.
That was another thing that, like, the Red Bulls teed this up, and we'll talk about that game, later in the show. But that they teed it up for Columbus to take advantage, and there was just everything in the back of my mind was going, we're not going to do this.
I mean, is this not the same week in the season as last year when we went to New York and got a big, big, big ass win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When Schoenfeld had a brace, I believe.
Yep. It was.
And Thierry Henry went on a love spree about Will Trapp.
I do remember that.
The good thing about the position we're in this season, though, is that we didn't need a big win. We've put ourselves in a spot where the playoffs are essentially assured. I mean, everything would have to go against us at this point. We would have to lose every game.
Yeah, we have to lose all the remaining games.
Every other team would have to win all theirs, and other teams would have to lose all theirs.
Just Orlando.
Yeah.
Just Orlando. It's literally the only way we don't make the playoffs at this point is if Orlando wins all their games and we don't.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's not going to happen. We're going to get a point out of something, and Orlando's not going to clear this thing all the way. So, I mean, the key for me this season was making the playoffs. I did not have us winning the Supporters' Shield. It would have been nice.
I did.
But I think we've put ourselves in a good spot. I also want to say I think that this game was an opportunity for us, and I think that the coaching staff made a lot of mistakes with their substitutions during this game. You had Ethan Finley coming off before Justin Merrim, which I understand neither one was playing that well, but I still was feeling during the game that Finley was providing more energy. He was moving more. He was getting balls in. He seemed to be doing more with fewer touches than Merrim was doing with more touches. I don't know. I would have liked to see Finley stay on a little bit longer. But if you're going to take him off, you know, bring somebody else on other than who we brought on. I mean,
Saeed and Cedric.
I was shocked McInerney we all right did not with that see the
move. With the Merrim coming or Merrim staying on and Finley coming off. I think Greg probably just identified something that we weren't seeing, a weakness. And I'm guessing it was probably on Ethan's side of the ball. And they wanted to bring on Mabwadi for fresh legs. And it was either, you know, bring Cedric in and switch him, you know, switch Finley over. I don't know.
Well, he had...
The hell do I know, Alex?
Finley had very few touches. I think by the end of the game, I think Finley had only like 15 touches, whereas Merrim had like 40-something. So 15 touches over the course of 60 minutes is not good at all.
Yeah.
Maybe the weakness was Ethan. I don't know.
It might have been, but I would have liked to see Jack McInerney come on during that game and see how he does with Kai Kamara. We've seen it in the past that Jack Mack can kind of give us a different look. And they were kicking the hell out of Kai Kamara the entire game. The referee was not calling it. I thought the referee had a really terrible performance. The linesman as well.
Including calls that went our way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the whole game, it was not good. I think kind of just earlier today, Berhalter said we just have to kind of forget it and move on. We can't beat ourselves up about it. I agree. Just move on. You've already put yourselves in a position for the playoffs. Start looking that direction. Get a point out of the next three games. I don't care where we finish for the most part.
I do.
Any of these teams. I don't.
I do. I don't want a one-game playoff against Montreal in Montreal.
I don't think we're going to fall that far.
Do you know how far we are behind Montreal? 4 points. Yeah. Or, excuse me, 5 points, and they have two.
We're ahead of Montreal.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I misspoke. I meant to say Montreal is 5 points behind us, and they have two games in hand. They win those two games in hand, they're above us.
One of those games is against Orlando, for the record, because I think they play them in midweek.
Yeah,
they have Orlando, New York, Colorado.
Which New York?
Red Bulls.
Okay.
I think Montreal.
New England and TFC.
I think Montreal are a very good team, but I think that their play style, now that they have Drogba, is actually less dangerous against the way that we play.
God, I totally agree with that.
Than they were when they were playing otherwise.
What the hell is this?
When they were playing with Dominic Odoro, they were a much more mobile team. They would get players one-on-one, and it was a lot of trouble for us. Now it's kind of just get the ball to Didier and let him do what he does. I think we can shut him down. I really do. Okay. So, I mean, I know that people are going to dig up this episode 2 months from now when he scores 4 goals on Columbus in the playoff.
Absolutely
nobody is going to do that.
You jackass.
The word you were looking for, Alex, was if.
Yeah.
If he scores 4 goals.
It's not going to happen.
Or Montreal could crap the bed in the first round against Toronto. We have no idea at this point. I'm just saying.
We'll be fine.
That sounds
Sunshine Brigade,
too.
We are going to be okay, guys. Don't panic. The sky is not
falling. To talk about Toronto as being virtually a lock for the playoffs.
We had like a hypothetical conversation in the parking lot before the game.
That was saying that.
Who would you rather out of these three teams? Which one would you rather see? Would you see in the playoffs? I can't talk. Toronto, Orlando, NYCFC. My answer was NYCFC.
Can we figure out a way to make it so Chicago's our first-round playoff opponent? Can we figure out some sort of Garber rule that would let that happen?
I don't like it.
To get some playoff confidence.
So just make it like the Ontario Hockey League where every team makes the playoffs.
Or every minor league hockey
right,
league.
Right,
that
I was going to say. That's the first one that came to mind. I was actually name-dropping. Like, hey, I know sports that are not from where I'm from.
It's going to be weird, though, to see TFC in the playoffs should they make it. You know, it's been since their existence.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost like they expanded the playoff field this year to allow for that to happen or something.
This is good in a lot of ways because it allows yet another opportunity for Toronto implosion, which is something that I personally love to see.
I would have loved to have seen it in, like, July.
But this will be on a much bigger stage, Matt. And so you have to keep in mind that, you know, if they're imploding on TSN and 15 people are watching, does it have the same impact as if...
And 42 moose.
Yeah.
The Canadian government funds projector screens out in the Northern Territories so that moose can watch soccer and hockey on television.
I don't believe you, Matt.
Moose was the Canadian host of You Can't Do That on Television. Back to you, Matt.
In all seriousness...
Hey, Morgan, I don't know if that's true. Oh, crap!
It's very true.
In all seriousness, though, I do think that they're a better team than we've seen in the past, but most of that's because they're paying $7 million to Sebastian Giovinco, who's a Champions League quality forward, who scores ridiculous goals fairly frequently. And he's going to be somebody that they're going to have a lot of trouble dealing with. We have dealt with him before and pretty much neutralized him. So,
Pretty much.
Well, when he played in Columbus...
When
he played in Columbus, he didn't do anything. So... We'll see how it goes, but I think that regardless.
Didn't he score?
I don't think he did.
He did in the 3-3 game? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he scored. But other than that, he was worthless.
So Kai officially goes up on him by 2 goals, by the way. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Kai now, is there anybody Kai hasn't scored against?
I think MLS kind of tweeted about that. Yeah, like he scored against every team now.
NYCFC.
He scored on 21 teams.
21.
Yeah.
Teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Did he score? No, he didn't score at NYCFC. That was Miram and Higuain.
No, he had assists.
He scored at home against NYCFC, didn't he?
Speaking of Giovinco, just became MLS's first ever 20 goal, 10 assist guy.
Yeah.
Like, first ever.
Wow.
He's a hell of a player.
I believe so.
I lost my train of thought. That's what I was reading.
How many goals are penalty kicks?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I thought I read. I may have been drunk.
Did you say he scored against 21 teams?
Yeah.
Who, Kai? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just this year.
Yes, MLS.
I know. I'm just thinking about this for like a half a second.
It's not just this year.
No, oh, it's not this year.
No, I know. That,
okay, I was going to say, wait a minute.
I'm sorry. Let me remove my tongue from my cheek.
My brain got broken there for a second.
Can I say one thing about the MLS app now that we have it, because we all have it open right now, except Alex, who's trying to come up with dog names.
I'm just reading the dog names other people have sent me, and they are fantastic.
I don't have the app. I'm just on the website.
You're the worst, Alex. Segment is rough.
Yeah.
No.
By the way, Todd brought his dog to the podcast.
Yeah, that's why it all started.
That's how it started.
Yeah. It bugs me that when you open the MLS app and you're in the standings section, the Western Conference is first.
Yeah.
Because that's not how the alphabet works. And there's only one reason that they would put that first is because they value the teams in that conference more.
No, it's because West. Because
you swipe. The phone, and then you swipe the phone to the east.
Every other app on the planet would do that.
That is the MLS website, by the way, which is great radio. It has the Eastern Conference listed first.
Yeah, the website.
So even MLS's broadcast of their own statistics.
Turn it sideways.
And now I can only see the Eastern Conference.
It's because you have one of those.
So it's the exact opposite of ESPN.
It doesn't have the lock on it. I thought it had the rotation lock.
All right. Do we have anything else to say about Portland, Columbus, other than? Well, I do want to ask this. I mean,
Kai's goal was amazing.
Kai's goal was.
It was a great goal.
Yeah. To get that angle in that direction,
beautiful. It was beautiful.
It was crazy good. And Pipa almost scored on either right before it or right before it on this crazy wonderful hold up possession by Kai on the right flank, and he put this ball to a streaking Higuain who almost just did this back flick.
Missed the goal by six inches.
It was awesome. Mira missed a header in the second half by a centimeter or two. What are you going to do, Matt?
Yeah.
Just ready to talk some Columbus Quest. Back to you.
Fair enough. Was the officiating as horrible as everybody said, or are we just looking for a scapegoat? And did we just play poorly?
I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
As I think it was Alex that was saying, the calls that went our way as well,
mm-hmm.
It kind of balances itself out. We've come to expect that from MLS. We've come to expect that from pro referees. You're going to get bad calls here and there. And most of the time, they'll even each other out. You know, refs will kind of get in their head that, oh, geez, maybe I messed up there. I'll toss a makeup call the other way. And it kind of works out that way. I don't think it had an impact on the game.
Okay.
At all.
I was tremendously worried that we were getting screwed over on that last on that yellow card by Higuain late in the game, but watching the replay, it was completely a yellow card.
And did you
say that New England had more goals than us?
No, I said I didn't know because the MLS app didn't
say
that.
We have way more goals than them.
We have more goals scored?
Yeah.
More goals scored, but we're minus one on goal difference.
Goals
New England
scored,
is plus two.
Garber rules, goals scored is the first tiebreaker. After wins, not goal differential.
Matt,
that was changed for the LA Galaxy in 2010.
Matt, welcome to MLS, where the rules are made up and the statistics
exactly.
don't matter.
Alex, your thoughts on the officiating?
I'm still looking at dog names, Matt.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't catch it live, and I kind of want to get everybody's thoughts on this because, and now I'm forgetting, but there's a guy on Twitter or a woman, I'm not sure who it is, that goes through and basically maps out exactly where the trajectories are and all that sort of stuff. And it looks like this just tiny knock-on that was essentially the reason that goal was called offside.
Yeah.
Do you...
And Finley was off.
Yeah, no, that's... With that knock-on, yes. Mm. Without that knock-on, no. Without it hitting the thigh, it wasn't. But it didn't look like... I can't tell.
It glanced off of Kai's head.
No, it was his thigh. It was his thigh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was that's different than the head, Morgan. Those are different
places. You sure about that?
Different places on the body.
Sam, can we check the internet while we're ending this?
Can you check some biology website?
Because I say the thigh is the same as the head. Matt says no.
This has been a terrible segment.
You're
I'm
a
so
terrible
sorry.
Segment, Alex. But with your, I just don't get it because the AR has to look through two bodies to see that, and yeah. still calls it offside.
I mean, it was a good call.
It was a good call, yes. Yeah. But I just don't know how it was made.
She got it right.
I'm not blaming. You know, I'm not saying anything negative necessarily about her. I'm just.
She's better than you are at looking at stuff.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Alex, did you see the thing I'm talking about?
I'm still looking at dog names.
You're still looking at dog names. Greg, please.
The offside.
Play me
grid.
Off stage. Yes, play me off stage.
Yes, I have seen it. It's the right call. obviously. I mean, duh. Anyone can see that. I have no idea.
Oh, wow. You can tell Sam picked out the bump for this one because this is awful. We'll be back. Second segment coming up. Apparently, there's dog names to be talked about, and the yes. playoffs are soon. It's coming up next. My friends, this is the Massive Report.
This edition of the Mass Report podcast is brought to you, as always, by Land Grant Brewing Company. Hi there, boys and girls. This is your good pal Morgan Hughes here to talk to you about a serious issue facing 96% of soccer fans located in the greater Columbus, Ohio area. Why, too much time on your hands, of course. With Columbus Cruisers FC facing 29 entire days between home games, supporters of the black and gold here in the capital city have a very difficult decision to make. Just what in the hell are we going to do with our lives between now and October 25th? Possibilities include rescuing ponies from pony barns that have been set on fire by the one true enemy of ponies everywhere, Shaquille O'Neal. Finally getting around to working on that long-awaited pedestrian bridge over the train tracks outside of Mowbray Stadium. Playing a hilarious prank on your new next-door neighbors by breaking into their house in the middle of the night while wearing a ski mask and carrying a large hunting knife while screaming, "Where is my son? Where is my son?" Or finally getting around to cleaning all that blood off your clown costume. All these options sure do sound like a lot of hard work, Matt. Luckily for you, beer is now easier than ever. Oh, that's right, Matt. Head on down to Land Grant Brewing Company, located right around the corner in Franklinton at 424 West Town Street, and find out why their medium-sized glass containers, which are filled to the brim with delicious, intoxicating alcohol, are without question the best way you can spend those 4 weeks in between home games at the Fray. So sit down, take a load off their newly completed porch area, pass the time by throwing back a greenskeeper or two while singing that old familiar jingle. When you're bored, you don't know what to do, try Land Grant Brewing, they paper our shoe.
It is segment two of the Mastiff Report. I did it, Alex. There. Yes. Are you happy?
I am happy.
Are you happy?
I am happy.
What have you done, Alex?
The Mastiff
Report. I don't know.
Report.
Okay. So we owe our listeners a little bit of background. So Todd Fichtenberg.
Okay, we'll talk about Tebow Sweat afterwards. That's
all right, all right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Todd Fichtenberg brought his dog to the bar.
His dog Pickles.
And his dog is adorable. Yes. And so
I'm naming him Pickles.
So I started trying to come up with a crew-themed nickname for his dog, and the first one I came up with was awesome. It was Steve Bark. And then I immediately followed that up with the worst one so far, which was a takeoff of former crew player Sean Sloan's name, which was Sean Bone, and everybody laughed at me.
Yeah. No, dude, your first one was Bark McCullers.
Bark McCullers was awesome.
Bark McCullers, that's right.
My first one was Slaubear.
That's right.
Yes, which I thought was pretty darn good.
My first was Dr. Kamalo.
Yes. Yeah, Dog Turd Kamalo.
Morgan's.
Do you say Dog Turd or Dog?
No,
turd?
I said Dog Turd. Dog Turd without the D.
I thought you said Turd, and it was way funnier back then, Greg. Back to you.
Oh. Oh, Dog Turd Kamalo. Alex, you misspelled it on Twitter.
Sorry.
You should have got it right the first time, see?
But we have a lot of these.
We do, and it went on Twitter because things go on Twitter.
That's what happens.
And Alex, go ahead and just brief us on the highlights that you have.
Okay. Another one that I posted a minute ago, which everybody's going to groan at. I don't care. Brian Sharpazanoff. Right? I get it.
You should have the Price is Right.
Sam is like, yeah, I'm busy.
Sam's like, I'm eating Chinese food. I don't care.
Okay, you guys want another
one? Dumbasses, do whatever you want.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Spaniel Withrow, former goalkeeper. We had one submitted by Crew SE's very own Andy Lochnane, Josh Woof. Thought that one was pretty good.
I just submitted Tyson Chihuahua.
That's terrible.
Well, if Alex hates it, it must be great.
So I had Slaubear. I did this and then realized that Mike Cornell had posted it literally a minute and a half beforehand, so I deleted mine and retweeted his. But I didn't even have to do anything with it. Mike Lapper.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's just easy.
Mike Lapdog.
Another one that I had was Boney Chani.
That's a good one.
Johnny. Yeah, Boney Chani. Might also be his porn name, according to one of my friends from Salt Lake. I'm not 100% sure on that. But
I think my best was Saint Bernardo Honor.
Yes. I love that one.
That one's pretty good.
Another one that I liked was that I posted was Ned, who's a good boy.
No, that was bad.
I liked that. Shut up, Morgan. No, you're not my real dad.
That's bad.
It's true.
We had one from friend of the show, John Checkett, Chasen Gary.
That's good.
I thought that one was pretty good.
Ryan Gear, not here tonight, which is kind of odd. We need to send out a party to try to figure out where he is.
He's somewhere on High Street.
Yeah. Ira, I think Ryan might be asleep somewhere on High Street. Can you go find him real quick? Thanks.
Check out front of... What's that place?
Yeah, check out front of the Blue Danube. He might just be passed out.
The Blue Danube. I was going to be like, what's the place that they used to be Talita's, and before that it was like some burger
Acre?
Place?
Yeah, Acre.
Acre, that's
Acre, at
it
the
is.
Bus stop in front of Acre is usually where we find Ryan. Yes. But he tweeted Robert Corgija.
That's so good.
That's pretty good.
I mean, the first one I came up with was Devin Barkley.
Yeah,
which was again,
you don't
unbeatable.
Need to do anything.
But
with that.
Bob O'Shaughnessy, friend of Tifo Sweat, the best one, and you cannot even argue with this, which was Bitch Balshin.
another
I
one
love
from,
you, Bob.
Another one from John Sheckett, Black and Old Yeller.
That's the one I was laughing at in the first segment. If you're wondering why I was hysterical, that one was great. Was, yeah. Emmanuel Pogafetch.
That's really good.
So we've thrown down, Alex and I have thrown down the gauntlet at this point because we think that we can beat Toronto in everything because it's true.
Yeah.
And a friend of the show, Kristen Knowles, who runs the Vocal Minority podcast for Toronto FC, we've just told her that the entire city of Toronto needs to come up with better TFC dog names than what we've just come up with.
And they've had like 50,000 players.
Exactly.
So it should be really
honestly,
easy.
Honestly, they could just do it with their coaches.
They could.
Yeah, if they
could.
Just did coaches and nothing else, that's like 700 people.
Now I want to think of dog names for their coaches.
Oh,
man.
I know.
Jeff Ballard posted one that I wanted to, and that was Federico Higuain. So I'm going to take credit for that. Sorry, Jeff. You just go straight to hell back in Michigan, wherever you're
taking,
at.
I'm taking credit for Frankie Haydog, which I'm surprised nobody else had.
Well, it's just not good, before. Greg. It's not funny or good.
Nate
disagree.
Nate Beckman, former contributor, Chad Barkin.
No, it has to be Barkson.
Barkson. Barkson.
Actually, Todd Fichtenberg, not friend of the show.
Yeah, we hate him.
Because he didn't start this by bringing his dog or anything.
Yeah. You know, I'm not even going to do any of yours, Todd.
What about Gino Pudalula?
I think somebody did
that. I like that.
I think Bob O'Shaughnessy did that.
Yeah.
I did Rough Ray Stadium.
Yes, you did that. You did that. Yeah. That's
that was
the
thing. I'm not proud of it, but it was a moment.
All right. We're done with this.
Hashtag crew SC dog names if you've got a better one.
People that are listening right now, you have literally no idea how this has overtaken the entire night. Like,
yeah, it's literally been
2 p.m.
This is what happens when Sam shows up late.
We were ready to go at like 7:01, and we didn't start till like 7:40.
Yeah.
I mean, we're late every week anyway, but it's like, oh, we started late because Shake Magic 8-Ball, here's your reason. This week it was crew SC dog names.
We literally did more research trying to find dog names than we have done on the actual game
on any game ever
in the entire season combined.
I actually looked at the internet.
Yeah.
It was weird.
I saw Morgan watching highlights. I was like, oh, I should probably do that.
Yeah. No.
I was like, nah, there's dog names to think of. We're playing hashtag wars.
Honestly, there's beer here and there's dog names. Who cares? I do want to say one thing, though, speaking of beer. The new Crew SC beer that Landgrant did, Glory, will be available on Saturday for the away match here at Hendox. Nice. So just got a confirmation as they decided to drop off the tap handle. But no beer, guys.
They didn't drop off a
for
keg.
For me, like a couple cans, you know. I get to try it on Saturday. It's very good.
When you're bored, you don't know where to go. Try Landgrant Brewing. They pay for our show. Well.
We just need – that's going to be the new intro for the show. I do want to talk about Tifo Sweat for a second. Tifo Sweat paints, was it 300 banners?
I heard they painted 350 total.
350 total banners, stencil-y, spray-paint-y awesomeness, and gave them out to what sections?
I heard that they gave them out to 102 through 106.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looked very good.
It did look, it looked really good.
It was a hell of a performance.
Those girls and guys are super good at what they do.
Yeah, and I've heard that they were expecting some to remain at the end, even though they told everyone that they could just take them home, and only one remained of all of the two sticks.
You know, with in supporter culture, there's always a lot of – it's par for the course. There's negativity. It's always completely spastic drama. And I think what I heard is they thought, hey, let's make a lot of kind of like giveaways to get people more excited, more involved. And they told me that they walked around and gave out, 352 sticks and told everybody, hey, take them home with you if you want. And they expected like to find 100 to 200 left over, best case scenario. And they found one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 349 of them were taken home.
That's pretty awesome.
And the one that was found in nacho cheese. So I'm thinking that's why they didn't want to take that one home, because the bottom part was covered in nacho cheese.
Oh, man.
That kind of makes sense.
They gave it away to a kid on the plaza, though. He was super excited. That's what I heard.
It's
because the kid hadn't eaten all night. He was just like, ooh, nacho cheese, thanks, and just sucks on the paint.
I did see a kid putting fabric in his mouth when I was leaving. That's probably
bad.
What it was.
Yeah. Kids, if you get a banner that has nacho cheese on paint,
don't
lick the nacho cheese off of the fabric. That's all I'm saying.
Or if you get a banner in general that's been touched by the hands of Tifo Sweat people, which I have heard are really dirty, especially the people that work at the establishment where I've heard Tifo Sweat goes on.
Yeah.
That's
listen to your Uncle Morgan, kids. Eat as much fabric as you can. Back to you, Matt.
It was really cool. You had kids getting their pictures with the banners and people coming up saying how cool it was. And the looks on people's faces when they would kind of unfurl their little two-stick to see what, like, face was on it or what trophy was on it. It was so cool. Yeah. It was a great project. It worked really well.
That's one thing we got to mention is that there were, basically player faces that were put on these. And
Siggy.
Silhouettes
and,
of the coaches.
A few other ones
Siggy
as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Siggy, and Fitz, Bobby.
Well, Bobby was a player as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that counts as a player face also.
Oh, player face,
Some that said we are massive. Yep. None that said we are mastiff. Should have been some forethought there.
What they told me is one of them made all of the trophy stencils, and that person you know, like an idiot, cut them out of cardboard, mm-hmm. and cardboard, you know, takes in liquids, including paint.
It does absorb paint.
And from what I hear, those stencils got very, very wet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a bummer, but the yeah. So, Columbus Horizon, Matt, back to you.
All right. So let's talk a little playoffs before we put this segment to bed.
Can't put a segment to bed.
Yeah, you totally can. It's a true thing. The Crew right now sitting in third in the East, second in the East according to Morgan. I don't know if I believe you or not. You've said the Crew have more goals.
Yeah.
Than New England.
Yeah.
And,
50 to 44, I believe.
The record is exactly the same. Ergo, the Crew, if they've
had, you're
if
talking
they have
tiebreak.
More, yeah, if they have more goals scored, then they have the tiebreaker.
Is head-to-head tiebreak?
No, goal scored is the tiebreaker, then goal differential. Unless Don Garber changed it in the last 2 or 3 weeks, which I wouldn't put past him. That could certainly be a thing. But I'm not 100% sure.
Saturday feels like such a wasted opportunity that I keep looking at the standings. I'm like, oh, wait, we're still in second.
No.
It was a weird night.
We kind of are. I mean, yeah. You know, we're tied for third or second or whatever it is. But so the New York Red Bulls right now, two games in hand on New England, Columbus, and D.C., sitting in first right now with 48 points. New England, Columbus both sitting in second, identical records. Identical games played, 47 points. DC United, same amount of games played, 2 points back at 45. Then you have Toronto FC at 43 with a game in hand. Can't catch Columbus. Can certainly on just games. I'm talking just on games in hand, not on the entirety, because anybody right now in the playoff race can catch Columbus. DC United, 45 points. Toronto FC, 43 points. Montreal, 42 points. Same amount of games in hand as the Red Bulls, which is two. The only other teams really that could potentially sneak into that sixth spot, Orlando on 38 points with three games left. It's going to be a difficult road for them. And then New York City,
yeah,
outside chance as well. I mean, just severely outside chance at 37 points with three games left. I don't see... Honestly, I don't see New York City or Orlando making the playoffs, especially with the fact that Montreal and Toronto both have games in hand on them, and they're that far back.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the only team mathematically eliminated at this point is the Bridgeview Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Philadelphia might be.
No, they're not. I know that from the MLS subreddit, because they shadow out that team's flair, and the Bridgeview Fire are the only shadow-flared. As of this
Philadelphia,
weekend,
Philadelphia would have to make the playoffs.
Win the
New
US
York
Open
City,
Cup.
Orlando, and Montreal would have to lose all of their remaining games.
Yes.
Philadelphia would have to win all of their remaining games and then have more goals scored than Montreal.
Alex, I'm sorry. Did I not say mathematically?
Yeah.
I believe that I did, Matt.
I'm sorry. Montreal or Toronto. I misspoke. Because they have their 8 points back with 8 points back from Montreal with three games to play.
Sam just made the roll over into the next segment sign.
Womp womp.
No, just the next
Greg,
topic.
How dare you?
Just the next topic. looking at the West real quick, the Galaxy with 50 points, 31 games played. Vancouver, 2 points back at 48, 30 games played, so they have a game in hand on L.A., Dallas, two games in hand at 47 points. Seattle, 46 points, even on games with LA.
Seattle Hounders?
Seattle
guys?
Oh, God. No. Hounders? Don't go there.
Stop.
All right, sorry.
Stop.
Sorry. Seattle has three games, or I'm sorry, LA has three games left,
yeah, three
leading,
games left.
But two of them are on the road, so that will be exactly 0 points based on this season of LA Galaxy soccering.
Sporting has one game in hand on LA, and Seattle. 45 points, and then Portland kept alive by us last week, kept in the playoff standings, 44 points, because San Jose is at 43, and Houston was tied with Portland at 41. Yeah,
Portland did themselves a heck of a favor.
God, that was
here
a huge game
Saturday
for Portland.
It really
was. And I think we underestimated just how desperate they'd be.
I know I did, Greg.
The one thing I will say, and this honestly, this does warm me heart and soul, is that Chicago is the odds-on favorite for the wooden spoon. Chicago, 27 points on 31 games. They have three games left. The most that they can finish with right now is 36 points, and that's if they win their last three, which is not going to happen. So Chicago, bottom of the league, that's at least something that we can
Number one draft pick, right?
Yeah. Because other than 96,
that's how that works,
other than 96, that's been a thing.
That's how that works, right?
That's how that works. Yeah, that's they're just going to tank the rest of their games so that they can get some guy from UCLA. I don't even know.
Win for UConn guy or whatever, whoever it is.
What's the? I mean, so
although, so to be fair, the number one draft pick last time was Kyle Larin, and he is tearing it up for Orlando City right now. So I think there can still be the occasional home run in that draft, but for the most part.
Yeah,
unless you get pick one or two, that draft is kind of worthless.
You're gonna get a decent player, you know, here and there. I mean, we've had players that we've gotten through the draft that have become good players.
Yeah,
we've had
Kai Kumar, all he had to do is go to Houston and San Jose
and Kansas City.
Europe
and England
twice.
Yeah.
But now, hey, we're cashing in on that investment now, right?
Money in the bank, man. Money in the bank.
I think it says
cash the contract in at the right time.
I think it says everything that half of the players that are listed on the MLS Super Draft pages on Wikipedia, their names are in red.
Yeah. That tells you all you need to know.
By the way, a guy I found out because I wore my crew jersey into the bank the other day, a guy at my bank played for, apparently there's a Myrtle Beach Mutiny team. I had no idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
After they committed mutiny on Tampa Bay, they had to go somewhere else.
They had to go and scuttle a new port.
You leave those robot bats alone.
The robots. So looking at this right now, in it's certainly at this point after last night's loss, or excuse me, Saturday night's loss, it's pie in the sky. But the Crews still are 3 points out of the Supporters Shield race.
Ah, sixth, but 3 points
sixth,
back.
Exactly.
That's. Freaking MLS.
There are six teams right now within one win of leading the Supporters Shield race.
Who wants it?
Late in the season. Yeah.
Right. Who wants it? You want the ball? You want the ball? Go get the ball.
Yeah.
Vancouver, Red Bull, and Dallas all have games in hand, but other than that, it's...
It'd be big for the Red Bulls. That'd be their only second trophy of all time. You know.
After the Supporters Shield
2 years
ago. 2 years ago. Yeah. I was going to say not last year.
New York Red Bulldogs. Guys.
No.
Stop.
Your mic is about to get turned off.
Yeah. Please turn his mic off. We're going to come back, though. Greg's going to talk about some stuff. And then we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about before we preview the big match against the New York Red Bulls. I'm just going to say Red Bulls. That's it. And then we're done with that. It's coming up next. It's the Massive Report brought to you by Land Grant Brewing.
While I am still collecting coins, trying hard to save the girl. I'm jumping hurdles, I'm growing up to be a big boy. I battle with the evil ways. I travel far and try and say sorry, but your princess isn't here. Take the rest, I push the pause, level up and move along, and hope that the next stage I will clear.
Fucking past, asshole.
I'm just trying to keep from dying.
Hey, I'm back, and I said I would be, and I've got more cards than you can shake a two-stick at. Episode 56 of Cards Against Insanity, sponsored this week by MLS referee and de facto Crew SC dog name Silvio Petrescu. Thanks to Todd for that one. Opinions are mine and don't necessarily reflect those of the Massive Report or Columbus Crew SC. Fair warning, some of tonight's episode is not safe for work or for children, so kids, earmuffs. Charlotte and Amberley, that goes double for you. Yellow card to Alex Smith, the director of Scottish Premiership side Falkirk. I know there are actually other teams in Scotland besides Celtic and the one with the Freaky Sun mascot. It's amazing. But Smith is also the head of the Scottish League Managers Association, and he's upset with bookmaking company Ladbrokes, who actually take bets on which Scottish manager will be fired next. Because apparently the rest of the English-speaking world will allow you to bet on absolutely anything sports-related, but more on that in a moment. After Ian Barraclough was shown the door at Motherwell, Smith said Ladbrokes and other bookies should, quote, take that undignified element away from it, end quote. Because if there's one job title where you're guaranteed to maintain your dignity at all times because you're completely immune from public criticism, it's the manager of a professional soccer team. The SPFL, who oversee the Premiership and the other pro leagues in Scotland, said such betting was nothing new and that they probably wouldn't be looking into it, and that has absolutely nothing to do with the $6 million title sponsorship Ladbrokes put up in May. Yellow card to the St. Louis Rams. Sunday's home game against the Pittsburgh Steelers was delayed 30 minutes after a pyrotechnics cart malfunctioned during pregame player introductions. Malfunctioned as in, excuse me, you know the flames they shoot up into the air as the players run out onto the field? Okay, well, like that, only it was aimed at the field. Yep, they set the turf on fire, and it gets worse, I'm afraid. Stadium employees had to use fire extinguishers to put the blaze out, which then left behind a bunch of residue that the warning label says contains antifreeze irritant. So the staff then had to bring out a mop and bucket to clean off the artificial turf, even going so far as to set out one of those yellow caution wet floor signs. I know the plastic stuff is pretty standard issue at NFL stadiums, and it stands up better to football than grass does, but there's just something wrong with, we need to get the field ready for the game, I'll get the mop. Call up the Blues, we got to borrow the Zamboni. Yellow card literally to Matias Perez Garcia of the San Jose Earthquakes, who became the latest player to fall victim to MLS's excessive celebration rule. MPG, as he's known, scored the only goal of the game in a 1-0 win over Real Salt Lake last night and took off his shirt as he ran toward the supporters section, earning a yellow card in the process. Unfortunately, he'd already been booked 10 minutes before, and with 3 minutes left in the game, he was given his marching orders. He's getting the card from me because it's a stupid rule, but come on, dude, you play in this league. You know. And fortunately for him, the Quakes hung on and won and spared being screwed by an MPG harder than anyone who bought a Volkswagen in the last 5 years. Green card this week goes to Crystal Palace defender Breda Hangeland. You know, we talk a lot about the lofty salaries made by professional soccer players these days, at least the ones who don't play for Columbus anyway. And that's how that's created a cultural disconnect between fans and players who are now basically rock stars with limos and entourages and what have you. Not Hangeland, nope. Immediately after Wednesday's 4-1 win over Charlton Athletic in the Capital One Cup, Hangeland was spotted by a Palace fan hoofing it to Selhurst Station right by the stadium and taking the train home with the masses. And when the photo went up on social media, it garnered replies of more photos of Hangeland and other Palace players on the train after earlier matches this season. Look, it's not going to win any humanitarian awards, but it's cool. It's a way of keeping in touch with the fans, and I like that stuff. The green for you, sir. On the other hand, staying in London, yellow card to Tottenham, almost got ahead of myself. They also had a Capital One Cup home game on Wednesday against Arsenal, which they lost. But they did have a special guest in attendance in none other than hockey god Wayne Gretzky. And they gave him the full VIP treatment, including having Spurs legend Ledley King present Gretzky with a personalized jersey on which they spelled the name wrong. Yep, there's not meant to be an S in Gretzky. That should be a Z or a Z if you're from any English-speaking country besides this one. Gretzky smiled for the photo opportunity, however, and said that he loves the shirt, even though without the Z, it's just not that ultra. Yellow card to the Chicago restaurant Taco in a Bag, which held an event last Tuesday for Cubs fans, as well as a host of celebrity competitive eaters, where they cooked and ate an entire goat. In case you're not familiar with baseball folklore, the curse of the Billy Goat has been around since 1945, and it's what Cubs fans blame for the fact that they haven't won a World Series since 1908. So when the Cubs clinched the playoff berth last week, the guys at Taco in a Bag cooked up a whole goat, and I do mean the whole goat, 40 pounds worth, and apparently not all of it went down so smoothly. From at Matt Lindner on Twitter, quote, one of the guys just ate a goat testicle and appears to be on the verge of throwing up, end quote. These nuts for president. And finally, a red card to the Daily Fantasy Double Standard. This is a weird one for me, guys. I grew up in a country where gambling on sports is not only universally legalized, but regulated. The same as happens in many other countries. For a while there, half the teams in the Premier League were sponsored by some kind of betting agency, usually an online one. Meanwhile, sports betting in the United States, even online, is still illegal at a federal level, and only 4 states allow it. But like many other things that are outlawed, but we do anyway, we gamble on sports in this country. Big time. Rhetorical question. How many of you listening are part of one or more fantasy football leagues this year? How many of you paid money to be in those leagues? How many of you have done office pools where you chip in your 20 bucks and you fill out your March Madness bracket and the winner gets the pot? You, my friend, have paid money into something in the hope of getting more money back out, and whether or not that happens is directly affected by the outcome of a sporting event. That is the definition of betting on sports. And I'm doing it too. I paid to join the fantasy league I'm in, and the only 3-0 team in that league, by the way. And it's not just the private stuff. Now you can't turn on your TV, click on a website, go to a game, or walk through a subway turnstile without being bombarded by DraftKings and FanDuel advertising. DraftKings alone is in for $500 million between their advertising deals with ESPN and Fox Sports, to say nothing of their partnerships with the NFL, MLB, NASCAR, UFC, and about 40-odd individual teams. FanDuel, for their part, are also in with half the teams in the NFL and NBA. And here's where the waters become deliberately muddied. Unlike sports betting, where only four states allow it, daily fantasy sports, where you put money in, you set your lineup, and your payout is determined by how well they do, is illegal in only five states. Those five states, unlike the majority of the country and unlike DraftKings themselves, do not define fantasy sports as a game of skill, which is where the line gets drawn. Games of skill? Okay. Games of chance? Not okay. And there is certainly skill to it. It takes a special kind of egghead to tap into sports analytics and know consistently who to start, who to bench, who the boom or bust guys are, all of the elements that factor into that perfect storm of a fantasy lineup that's going to win on the day, win your league, and win you a halfway decent payday. Although, for the record, a Sports Business Journal study found that only about 80% of small players in daily fantasy, the guys like you and me who put in an average of about $50, typically lose half their money. Even online, the house wins. But that money you drop into DraftKings might just as well be given to a bookie who will at least give you consistent odds on who's going to win the actual game. You know, something that doesn't involve you needing to watch 10 TVs at once. But we've got a different system in America now. We figured out how to basically let two companies write their own rules and stack the deck in such a way that the armchair fans get screwed. Oh, sure, we could let someone just make a straightforward wager on the spread, and I'm sure they'd have just as much fun. But that's not the American way. Money talks, and billion-dollar juggernauts get to talk the loudest. And I'm not saying this should be illegal. Hell, legalize the whole damn thing. Regulate it. Make bookies pay licensing fees and their taxes, and I'll be happy. The only fantasy here is that we outlaw one and allow the other, and act like they're not exactly the same thing. My name is Greg Benson. You can find me on Twitter as GregRegulator614, and if you're at Hendox Pub, you are in my seat. A reminder once again to use the hashtag MRCards if you've got something I should be including on next week's show. Until then, play on, but remember, I'm watching you.
I'm just taking bets at this point whether or not this guy outside is going to try to parallel park this car again.
This is his second try, and neither one were very... third?
He's now 2 feet away from the curb, and it's kind of adorable.
I can understand his problem, because those Kia Fortes are huge and so hard to park.
Well, that Hyundai is parked illegally, so it doesn't
really... The Hyundai is parked illegally. It's added to the degree of difficulty.
And welcome back to the parking report.
More like the Pup King report.
Jesus Christ, Greg. No, I think it's a good point. I think it's a good point you bring up, and it's kind of I want to touch on this for actually half a second.
Barking report would have been
the funny. Barking report. Yeah. It makes literally no sense to me that I can't go in somewhere that's regulated or go online to a website that's regulated. I could do it when I was in England. Dan Bidmean can do it any day of the week, anytime he wants to. Go in and put $20 down on the Crew beating New York this weekend. However,
friends and family can do it back in Australia too.
Yeah. But if I pick the right lineup that includes, if I really believe that the Crew's going to score enough goals and have enough defensive points or whatever this bull crap is, then I can totally bet on a game that may have other elements of other games in it. And I don't understand that. I don't understand why Ohio is that backwards.
Well,
Does anybody else? It's not just Ohio, but we're talking.
The majority.
I don't want to get accused of talking about anything other than Columbus Crew soccer tonight. So,
go Bucks. Yeah.
And apparently, according to Molly, in other countries, people bet on wrestling, which seems like a horrible idea.
Canada. That'd be a really good idea if you were one of the guys who like wrote the thing.
Betting against Russo, it's a great
betting,
idea.
Yeah, betting
Undertaker's going to win. Putting all my money on it. Because I wrote
betting
it.
Betting on pro wrestling, that's like betting on an episode of The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Really, that's
which
like betting
do
on
as
who died.
Well.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
There's already betting odds. I bet you, I would bet you, if it was legal, that there's already betting odds on who the next Doctor in Doctor Who's going to be.
Oh, my goodness.
It's all fun and games until you lose a shitload of money in the early 90s betting that Hulk Hogan wouldn't body slam the earthquake. Back to you, Matt.
But it's something that I find kind of interesting. I know we're diverging a little bit, but whatever, is that, you know, Pete Rose got banned from baseball for allegedly betting on baseball games. However, how many NFL players play fantasy football?
Yeah. If Pete had just waited,
seven.
You know.
Seven NFL players play fantasy football. Something where their skill can directly affect the outcome of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just find it super interesting.
If Pete Rose had waited 20 years, he wouldn't have had a problem.
Yeah.
Gone to FanDuel.
Yeah.
Which is probably sponsoring the Cincinnati Reds for all we know.
If you're looking for logic and government policies, Matt, you're going to have a bad time. Back to you.
Yeah. Dear FanDuel, by the way, I'll take some money. That'd be great.
Welcome
Thanks.
To Massive Politics Report. This is your host, Alex Stanek.
So I want to talk.
In the next segment, we're
going
to talk about the Syrian refugee crisis.
So two things, obviously.
And what teams they support.
Can any of them play?
Obviously, we want the crew to finish in the first or second spot. We don't want to play the one game wild card game, unless somebody here does.
True.
Does anybody?
No.
Okay, I figured I was speaking for everybody. So two questions for you. Number one. We're pretty sure, at least I am, and you guys can correct me if you disagree on this, that the lineup that we have right now in playoff positions in the East is going to be the lineup. It might jog, it might flip, but the first through sixth right now are going to be the teams that make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So two questions for you. Number one, if the crew finish third or worse, what team do you want to face? It's number one question for you, Greg.
Toronto.
All right. Home or away?
either or. I don't know. I'm neutral on Toronto. I don't get on board with the let's all hate Toronto thing because I'm just whatever. I don't really see the big deal. But Toronto flaming out towards the end of the season is a usual thing. And,
Toronto to me is like every 80s summer camp movie where there's the rich kids across the pond. Every 80s summer camp movie where the kids in the summer camp that are the main characters end up beating the rich kids across the pond.
Okay. That's actually the best analogy for crew TFC.
Yeah, to me, honestly, that's how I feel about Toronto. Okay. Is if what was the name of the Wet Hot American Summer? The name of the camp across the lake.
The rich kid camp.
Yeah, thanks, hon. That's not the name of the. I'm spacing on it, but you know what I'm talking about. That sort of thing,
yes.
or like meatballs.
Yes.
That's how I feel about Toronto FC.
But I feel like Columbus with the
except
playoff,
they keep firing their camp director way through the year. That's the only difference.
I can see Toronto being ripe for the picking with literally no playoff experience in that organization.
Yeah.
And again, there's a few key pieces in Columbus that haven't been there. Kai Kamara wasn't there last year.
Yeah, Guy Kamara has played in the MLS.
He has played in the playoffs too.
And
you look at guys like Higuain and Finley and Francis and even Tyson Wall, for crying out loud, was there last year.
Yeah.
I feel like that experience would be enough to.
I've retconned all of last year's playoffs out of my brain, by the way, so I don't acknowledge they happened.
I drank it away at the time.
Fair
so,
enough.
Yeah,
Alex, if we're in the wild card, who do you want to play?
Well, I just want to say something about TFC.
Good.
I think even though they don't have playoff experience in MLS, they have a number of players, a lot of their star players.
Big game experience.
Yeah, they have big game experience. They know how to play under pressure. If you're Michael Bradley or if you're Jozy Altidore or if you're Sebastian Giovinco, a first-round MLS playoff game is not going to be stressful when you've played in the World Cup. It's not going to be stressful when you've played in the Euros. It's not going to be stressful when you've played in the Champions League. So I think those guys are going to be calm. They're going to be collected. They're not going to get kind of flustered by the occasion because it's not a big deal to them. They're there for the money for the most part. The team I would most like to face, and I know I'm going to get chewed out for this, it's actually New York Red Bulls. I think we match
in
up
the
really
first round? Do you think we play them in the first – in the wild card?
I don't think we play them in the first round, but if you're saying I get to pick who we play in the first round,
I'm just checking. That's all.
Yeah, I would pick New York Red Bulls. I think we match up really well with them. I think we're going to have to face them at some point, and I think if we play them in the first round and we win, it'll give us a good place to start from. The guys we pumped up, it's something to really build off of, and then we can go on knowing that we can beat any team in the East.
All right, Morgan,
DC United. not only are they a bunch of old men and Jairo Arrieta, who was born offsides, they're just tired from playing in, you know, multiple competitions, and they haven't won since, I believe, August 8th at Montreal, in MLS anyway. I hate DC United with the white-hot intensity of 1,000 burning suns, and I would love than to go to hell, Sam Malone, than to eliminate them from the playoffs like they did to us so many times. So, DC, have fun with your wild raccoons, and you can go straight to hell with Matt Goschert. Back to you, Matt Goschert.
Honestly, that's the same answer I had as far as a wild card game.
Yeah.
Is DC United. I would love to play them. I would love to make a statement against them in the wild card round and then go from there. Follow-up question. We're going to go straight to you, Morgan.
All right.
Let's say we finish first or second.
Yep.
Does your opponent change?
No.
Okay. You still want to play DC in the first round?
Well, I mean, we're talking about from this moment.
Yeah,
September 28th, of course.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on how everybody finishes. But
end of October. We'll know at the end of October, but even before the last game of the season.
Right.
We'll ask this question again. I'm just trying to get the temperature of the room right now.
I like Alex's thinking in New York. I think we match up well against them as well. Montreal's on a tear, but they don't frighten me the way that New England does. DC. Again, I hate them, and I want them to die. 1,000 burning deaths. Matt, back to you.
Alex, does your answer change?
No.
All right. Greg?
We finish first or second? New England.
Yeah.
I'd love to face New England again.
God,
I really would.
From like a payback perspective?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's different.
Absolutely. Yeah. New England's been very hot and cold this year. They've been streaky. They've gone on long.
I just don't want to see these guys have
so
to play
we.
A playoff
I,
game on that
I know.
Shit surface.
Yeah.
I understand. From the perspective of looking after the players, I don't want to see that happen either, but it seems to happen a lot in MLS as you get towards the top, especially in the Western Conference, certainly. But
yeah.
And just from a player safety perspective, last year at New England when Nathan Finley barely grazed Bobby Shuttleworth's head, thank Christ that they had a bottle of water on the sidelines to spray on his forehead, or that man would be dead, and we'd all be a lot more sadder than we are today, Matt.
I think it's more from a payback perspective than any. Wow.
Yeah, I get it.
I hate Bobby.
It's more from a payback perspective than anything.
Thomas hates him.
I think the crew learned a lot from their series with them last year, and it just, I don't know. It just feels right to use a Galifoism.
All right.
As you put on a Juventus jersey.
Last question.
No, there's
last
some
question.
Things that I just won't do.
Last question I have. I'm gonna ask all these questions again at the end of October. But
teaser.
Most dangerous team right now in the East. Go, Greg.
Montreal. There's so much we don't seem to know about them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Alex?
Can I say the crew?
Go ahead. You can say whoever you want,
Columbus
but it's going to be weird when we have to play each other like some sort of Scott Pilgrim versus the world end scene.
You just said the most dangerous team. I think
the mirror match in Mortal Kombat.
I think we are the most dangerous
Naga
team.
Naga crew!
I think we're it. I think we're the most dangerous team. I think we have the league's top goal scorer. We have... Is Finley still the top assist man, right? No,
he
got dropped.
He's two off the lead of Fellahaber or Giovinco, I believe.
Still has a crap load of them.
Yeah. All right, yeah. We have a lot of really talented players. We play well as a team. We have a really good locker room. I think they're going to stick together. If I were a fan of another team, the crew would be the team I would not want to face. So I'll say we're the most dangerous. Yeah.
All right, Morgan, most dangerous team in the East.
I totally agree with Alex. From a different fan perspective, to me, it's New England. Just based on actual legitimate history in the last couple of years, you idiots. New England has proven that they can turn it on when it counts and get to the Cup Finals. And they have yet to prove after, 700 tries that they can actually win the Cup Finals. But that's not important, Matt. Back to you.
Well, of course, because we wouldn't be concerned about winning a Cup Final against New England.
No.
Because we wouldn't play one.
I'm glad you figured that out. I mean, a couple years ago, we could.
Who's going to? I mean, we were kind of the ones that just crapped out of the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Right now, and you can go west. You can go Western Conference on this one if you want to. But who's going to be the team that just craps out of the playoffs this year?
I mean, depending on where they finish, my vote is for the LA Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Because if they finish anywhere but 1-2, you know, they're going to face not home field advantage, and they cannot win on the road.
Well, if they finish 3 or 4, they at least get the wild card game at home, and then they at least get one game at home. Yeah, but they get one game at home.
And they get murdered on the road, Matt. Back to you.
Damn it, Morgan's got an agenda.
Greg.
Yeah.
Team that flames out. Sporting Kansas City. I can't see
them
doing...
Not a fan of the Sporks.
I can't see them doing anything. They haven't impressed me at all this year. I feel like they've... they're one of those teams that's... The Western Conference in particular is very top-heavy. There seems to be a more even spread across the Eastern Conference of teams that are competitive. The Western Conference, it's 3, sometimes 4 when Seattle's on their game. They're very dangerous. They've been getting progressively better as the season's wore on. Sporting Kansas City, I feel like they've kind of, I don't know, they're there because Colorado and Houston and the other teams below them are even worse. I don't think it's because they're any good. So yeah. I don't think they last long.
Alex.
Portland. I think that Portland is a very hot and cold team. I think they match up well against certain teams. I think they don't against others. I think they have a lot of problems internally. I think a lot of the players are not buying into the system that's in place there. I'm not sure they're buying into the coaching staff that's in place there. They can be good at times. We saw that a couple of days ago. But I think overall, I think if you put them up against one of the top teams in the West, they're going to get torn apart.
I'm going to say, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think San Jose makes the playoffs. I don't think Seattle does. And I think San Jose does not do well. I don't see Seattle continuing this run of form that they've had, and it's not been great, but I see Seattle dropping out of it. Portland could drop out of it as well. I mean, Portland's got a pretty good team. I just don't know if they've had the results down the stretch to continue. But I'm going to say San Jose backs into the sixth spot and then just gets embarrassed by somebody. I don't know. It's just my thought. Besides their fans. San Jose, yeah, well, they're ultra. They're super ultra. Last thing that's on my agenda before we go to break here. Sorry, Sam. U.S. Open Cup is on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm choking on something. But U.S. Open Cup is on Wednesday. It's going to be Kansas City against Philadelphia on ESPN2. So you can watch it here at Hendocks.
The deuce.
It's another kind of mediocre cup. Again, it's teams that have kind of put all their eggs in the U.S. Open Cup basket trying to get a trophy. I don't know. To me, I think the Sporks win this again. But I don't know. You guys, tell me what you think, Greg.
I think Kansas City's a better team. But Philadelphia, if I remember correctly, were there last year. Were in the final, were they not?
Yeah, they were.
At Seattle.
Yeah.
I don't even know where the game is this year. Well, why would I know?
Was it at Seattle or was it at Philly?
It was at Seattle.
I think it was at Philly.
It's at Philly this year.
Yeah.
Philly's going to win. Why not? I have no idea.
I'm going to go to the interwebs.
Philly has a lot less to lose at this point. I think they're just going to throw absolutely everything, the whole house at it.
Yeah, I think the U.S. Open Cup is one of those. I love it.
It was in Philly last year.
Told you, Molly.
Seattle won, but it was in Philly.
I think the U.S. Open Cup is truly a special, special thing. And to me, home teams can do weird things when they shouldn't do weird things in special occasions. And I really am rooting for Philly. And I hope that they win. I think they will, Matt.
All right. Alex.
I hope both teams lose.
Because that's a thing.
That's fair.
Yeah.
God.
That's how I felt watching Red Bulls New York Red Bulls Orlando. on Friday. Yeah.
Like Asteroid FC.
Yes.
That's when I root for Asteroid FC.
Sinkhole FC is what I was going
Asteroid
for.
Asteroid FC with Kaká getting out 5 minutes early.
No. Bane FC.
No. Unless he was right. sent off and missed the rest of the season.
You thought the U.S. Open Cup Finals.
No, the U.S. Open Cup Finals. We'll talk about that next week.
I'll explode your stadium hindward.
Dear God. All right, we're going to come back and we're going to talk to some more crew, we promise. Sorry for anybody who tweets us at this point saying you're never going to listen to us again. We'll be back in just a second, my friends. This is the Massive Report. Listen, yellow, it's a killer, just say. All right, we're back. It is segment number 4. It's the Massive Report. One thing that we forgot to talk about before we go into talking about the Harrison Red Bull is the crew legends. That's kind of a big thing. So,
yeah, well,
sorry about that.
We've been sitting here turning them into dogs all night.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, we've done that as well. Because we're horrible people. Yeah. So I want to go... Did you guys... First thing I want to talk about, the top 20 moments... Did that kind of line up with what you were thinking? Was there anything that was way out of place? We'll start with you, Alex.
No, I thought it was fine. It was close to what I had. I had a couple of things that were not on the list that made my top 20. And then
Eddie Gavin at goalkeeper was number one for me. I'm kind of upset about that.
I think 2008 had to be number one.
Of course it did.
But
yeah.
It was a cool thing that they did. I mean, this is something that I don't think a lot of other teams do. Yep. It's cool to see all these guys come back. It was crazy seeing some of these guys. Seeing Stern John was just like, wow, like what is going on here? That's Stern John. They had like a little panel before the game, which was really interesting, and the guys were making fun of each other and kind of reminiscing about the good old days when they were changing in one place for their training, and then they had to go drive to where they were actually training and All these old stories about kind of the really early days of MLS. It was really, really entertaining, really interesting.
MLS was poor. Back to you, Alex.
It was really, really great. I'm glad they did it. It was fantastic.
Cool. Morgan.
Yeah. three things. One, Stern John said that he really wishes that he could have ended his career in Columbus. Mm-hmm. I thought that was awesome. Two.
Brad Friedel, you mean?
No, Stern John. Then Brad Friedel said he was offered, he got an offer from MLS to come back, and he said the only way I'll ever come back to MLS is if I'm playing for the Columbus Crew. And they're like, yeah, but no, you could play for LA. And he's like, again, Columbus Crew or nothing. That was cool to hear.
Yeah.
And three, obviously the start of the night, so good to see him back. really, really, really was important for us.
Duck it out.
Crew Cat.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Big.
Those are the same people, right?
Big to see Crew Cat. I'll never forget him on the stage at the jersey unveiling earlier this season, and he kind of gave way to his bastard illegitimate son, SC. And I thought, well, Clark killed Crew Cat, and that's the end of it. We'll never see him again. And us fans, you fans, all of us fans in general, Matt, we demanded to see Crew Cat again, and we saw him, and... More power to you, and back to you, Matt.
See, I want to see them do like a tandem thing, like they do with the Reds. I think have two mascots.
Mm-hmm.
Molly, what are the two Reds mascots' names?
Petey.
Rosie and Mr.
Rosie
Red,
and Mr.
see?
Red.
See?
Yeah.
You can do two mascots. It's a thing. It happens in Ohio.
Aren't there two Clipper mascots, Lucille?
Yeah,
and
yeah Lucille
and
which is
Crash.
Just an Arrested Development
Crash.
Joke.
Crash is the parrot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
But you guys are forgetting Clipper.
I love the fact that the Clippers have a mascot completely devoted to a random Arrested Development joke. I'm a monster! Lucille!
Honestly, like, no, not kidding right now. With the crazy, you know, just like crew cat demand that has happened since he left, which has just been like the coolest, like, not soccer story of the year. I wonder if they'll, like, honestly bring him back for next season with, like, the new logo on the hard hat and wearing, like, an updated, you know, why not?
Yeah, they should.
I would leave the old logo on there. They've got their PR about the new logo. The new logo is everywhere around Columbus. If you walk around Columbus, literally, there was 18 years of the old crest. You see more stuff for one season for the Crew SC logo than you do of all the old
stuff.
So I think that their main goal of getting the new crest out there has been accomplished. You can bring Crew Cat back unchanged. And you can have them both just kind of hanging around the stadium as like, hey,
that would be cool.
Remember this
swatting,
guy?
Swatting it like laser beams together during halftime.
It's a way to honor the history every week instead of just one time for the 28 years.
That's really
bring
cool.
Bring back Crew Cat. Clark, if you're listening.
I'd like to say that.
Oh, my God. It's like catching the snitch in Harry Potter, but you basically just throw Crew Cat and SC, or Crew Cat on one side, SC at the other side. You just have them for all of halftime just pounce at a laser pointer.
Don't do that, Clark. Yeah. Just the part about bringing back Crew Cat.
Greg, your thoughts on the evening?
I thought it was a great night all around. I'd never been part of anything like that at, you know, a Crew / Mopfrey Stadium before, and to witness it in combination with the Tifo sweat thing that went up. And I'm sure that the players, as they saw that, thought that was the coolest thing.
Did you get your residual check yet for being part of one of the moments?
Not yet.
You're
still waiting. That. Still waiting. Yeah.
You caused that.
I feel like I'm part of the team now.
Somebody on Facebook, and I don't have a Facebook, so I relied on Tony Galifo to communicate this to the world.
I think
Tony
we figured out
bad information.
Yeah. Somebody had
There's
said,
a
"Here's a, like it was maybe 2:30 p.m. on Saturday," and somebody's like confirmed Guillermo sighting in Columbus. I saw him at the airport or something, and I mean, I lost my mind.
Yeah, that was all sweatpants.
Yeah.
Apparently, sweatpants made all of that up.
It was some guy on Twitter that said it. He took a screenshot and posted it.
Yeah.
And it was just some Argentinian dude.
I lost
it
my mind.
It wasn't Guillermo. Yeah.
Hello, Columbus. I am honored to announce the top moment in the club history and have been part of the team to win the MLS Cup Championship 2008.
Easton Town Centre. I love Guillermo.
Back to you, man.
That's great. No, that was fantastic.
Yes, I already have it saved on my phone.
And the cheer that went up when his face came up on the
video, that was awesome.
Reading that out, that was fantastic.
The two ovations, one for Gino and one for Guillermo, were deafening.
Gino did get a hell of a round of applause.
That's because he's awesome and everyone loves him.
Everybody loves
Gino's
Gino.
Freaking amazing. That's why.
No doubt. I also thought it was very impressive that Brad Friedel took time out of his schedule to stop in and pay us a visit before he had to be in LA, I think it was 24 hours later to do color analysis for the Galaxy game.
Yeah,
That's no small feat.
Well, and out of everybody who was there, he seemed to be one of the guys who was genuinely enjoying it the most. Like he seemed to just be soaking it all in,
which was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
I talked to Duncan like a bit at the tailgate, and just I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall at that dinner that they had on Friday night because apparently it was just
I can't even imagine
it was hilarious. Yeah. Apparently, it was just.
Two things, doing the Guillermo bow and doing the Alejandro Moreno chant again in the Nordic for the first time in years was just, God, it got so dusty in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was really, really a freaking cool moment.
We can do it again in 5 years for the 25th.
I hope we do.
It's like high school reunions. You have to do them every 5 years.
I like the idea of the homecoming thing. I think it's neat to, especially for, you know, for someone like me who is new to this whole thing as far as, you know, going to Crew games and being part of Crew support or whatever. It was really neat for me to see all these guys who I'd heard many, many stories about and watched highlights of and all kinds of stuff, but had never actually witnessed play in person. And to not only see them collected together on the field, but to also see what it meant to everybody that was at the stadium. That was really neat for me.
Yeah.
Well, and they all came over to the front of Nordeca, and everybody who was on either side of me as these guys came back, you know, they were all saying thank you to these guys. You know, it was just thank you, thank you, thank you. And I think it meant a lot to the guys who were there because, I mean, if you were a 1996 MLS player, you were not making sports star money. You were in not-so-good training facilities. You were making not-so-great money. And you were doing that with the idea that, okay, this is going to be something for the future. This is building the sport up in this country. And they did. I mean, guys like Brian McBride, guys like Brad Friedel, I mean, they had a tremendous impact on the sport in this country, and they deserve to be recognized, and I'm really glad that they were recognized.
Yeah.
Those are the guys in the hard hats. They were the ones that built the foundation for what we're doing right now.
Yep.
All right.
And crew cap.
Who needs to just come back full time now?
He's still wearing the hard
time.
Hat. Can't get it off.
Yeah.
Full time.
I think it's actually stuck on the
pickles, Phil, Goldfarb, you make it happen, buddy.
When you put a hard hat on a cat for so long, fur mats down, they don't get a chance to clean themselves above that. So it's fused to his skull at this point. And
thinking about what's going on under that hat now.
It's part of his skull. His brain, that's why he's so smart. His brain has leaked out into the hard hat.
That's not helping. That's not helping. I'm about to get a second taste of Orion.
SC stands for smart cat.
What if they did...
Wow.
Smart casual, Matt.
So what if they did this?
Smart casual.
I have another idea. What if they brought out Crew Cat when it was one of the original teams?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And then they brought out SC if it was just like some sort of MLS.
What if we were
playing
Quakes.
Seattle or something, you can bring out SC. That's fine.
What if we play the Quakes?
No, Houston only.
Yeah, then if we play Houston, they get Crew Cat. Yep. But if we play the Quakes, they don't.
Yeah.
I'm just checking.
Only the true Clash get Crew Cat.
All right, fair enough. What about Seattle?
No, hell no.
No.
Well, but they're according to them, they've been around since the 1873.
I don't care what they say. They get Poochie.
1873.
They get to play a tribute match.
Oh my God! Can we
have
Poochie? Can we have Poochie the dog the next time we play Seattle at home?
They get Brutus.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Not even Brutus the Buckeye, just some dude named Brutus who's like,
Sam is hurrying us along,
Brutus
by the way,
barber
to the surprise of nobody.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake. All right, so next thing that we got to talk about before we're done, we play in Harrison on Saturday, not part of New York, unless it got annexed recently.
Nope.
Yeah, it's kind of the Bridgeview of New York City, really.
Bridgeview was in Missouri.
Yeah.
Or Indiana.
I mean, quite
the other state.
As far away
I meant
as
to say Indiana.
Wisconsin is what you meant to say. Wisconsin and Indiana.
Wisconsin or
say.
Indiana.
Yeah. My name is Greg. I don't know geography.
Oh, don't even start me.
All right. So
it's
Morgan.
The Australia of New Zealand.
Yeah, it's the Australia of New Zealand. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm very confused.
I'm not even Australian, and I'm going to defend Greg on this one. That was bad.
Thank you, Alex.
Morgan.
Appreciate you going into battle.
Morgan, what do you see happening?
Pain. Back to you, Matt. That was a Mr. T, Rocky III reference. I'll just keep going on here.
Please do.
I don't know. I expect pretty much the same team that showed the last few weeks, the last few games on the road to show up from a crew perspective, and that's good based on Berhalter's comments about, you know, it was a missed opportunity, but it's not the end of the world. We still need to regroup. We still need to play our game. I don't know, man. I have not a terrible feeling about this game. New York's a solid team, but I think we match up well against them.
Alex.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close. I think we might see Gaston Sorrow. I think we might see him get a run out. He's full go in training. And I think that Greg is going to want to try to get him ready so that he's an option for the playoffs. And I think New York will be a good chance to see if he's ready, if he's kind of clicking with the guys enough that he could be potentially a starter going into the playoffs.
Think we'll see Gaston and Mbwadi starting?
I hope we see Mbwadi. I think he offers a lot.
Doesn't he make too much money to just be a bench guy? And I know he's a mid.
A lot of our bench guys do.
Yeah. I know he's just he's technically a signing back in January or whenever, but he, you know, even though he came in mid-season, he makes too much money to sit.
I think it's not so much that he's getting paid to sit on the bench. For the most part, I think he's the guy that you bring on late to, you know.
But isn't that
to turn the game
literally the position that Merrim excels most at?
Yeah.
Unleashing
maybe
J9.
Maybe you swap him around. You know,
start him on the left.
Maybe start Mabwadi on the left and bring Merrim on late in the game to have that. They are two very similar players.
I thought Merrim was going to get
sold. Say that into the microphone, Sam.
I said maybe Merrim gets sold.
Maybe so. Really?
He's getting a lot of international exposure.
He is.
So yeah, he is.
Like he's starting to score goals.
Scoring for Iraq, yeah.
I doubt that Mabwadi's contract is only half a year.
Right, it's yeah, no. I mean,
no, Mabwadi's a next year guy.
So you're looking at let Merrim get his chance as much as possible for scouts or whoever it is that might be interested in seeing him, since you're already in a comfortable position. And then come next year, if either he gets sold or he gets traded or whatever, you have the backup ready.
I think that was the intention, though, his capital, his worth, would never have been higher than after last year.
Well, they were hoping to build on last year, so you're going to give him every chance.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it, Justin.
The more he continues to play, the more he's going to continue to get called up. And, you know, you never know.
This could be a week that Berhalter experiments, you know, with, as Alex said, with Gaston potentially coming back. And I don't think they're going to try and rush him back, especially given the nature of his injury.
No, they certainly didn't, because he was available Saturday.
Does he experiment that much? I mean, Adam Jardy wrote an article talking about, you know, potential plan B. Does he experiment enough with it that we see a two-striker system? Do we see Jack Mack on the field?
I mean, are we winning the game? I think we experiment with we experiment with different formations outside of the starting 11.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yep.
Not a lot, but, you know, based on scenario.
Yeah, Berhalter does go with the flow of a game quite often, and you see different formations, but it's pretty much you know what you're getting to start off with.
Yeah, basically we're asking, will we see Jack Mack and Kai on the field at the same time?
Yeah, will we? What I'm asking.
I assume that we will at some
potentially,
point.
Potentially, yeah. I think this game is intriguing to me because it'll be interesting not just to see how Columbus responds from the disappointment of Saturday, but also how New York Red Bulls respond from getting smacked in the mouth in their own building by Orlando, because they got played off the park, and Orlando really did. I mean, they faced a very desperate Orlando team. Orlando knew they had to win that game to have any chance of postseason, and New York let them have it. And to see how a team that is sitting in first place in the Eastern Conference responds to getting beat around like that in front of their home fans when Red Bull Arena has not been an easy place to play for a lot of teams this season. That'll be interesting to me. Which New York team shows up?
Every year it's like this, though. You know, and that happened with us, I think, partially last week is that, you know, you have these teams that are clawing and fighting, and then you have Columbus that's like, well, you know, unless everything goes wrong, we're in. So...
And I worry about that mindset.
Yeah.
I worry about that mindset because...
Well, but I don't think it, with New York, I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal. New York knows they're in.
Right.
I don't want them. I don't want the Cruisers to change their road mentality whatsoever.
Yeah, they've been white hot on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no... Yeah.
Which speaks to Alex's earlier point about, you know, the most dangerous team in the East. I mean, it's probably the Crew based on current road form, and, you know, that matters very much in the postseason and two-leg scenario.
Yeah, that's fair.
It sure as hell is.
All right, we're going to get score predictions real quick. We'll do this, and then we'll bail out because Mr. Sam's looking at me weird. Morgan, give me your score prediction for Saturday.
Sam's like, this is my normal look.
Columbus. Actually, hang on.
Okay, all right, I'll take it all back.
We got a U.S. Open Cup final.
Yeah.
Let's do a quick score prediction for that, and then we're going to go in the Crew game. U.S. Open Cup final. I'll remind you again, it's Philly and Kansas City.
Philly 2-1.
All right. Alex?
I genuinely don't care.
All right. Greg?
1-1. Philly wins on penalties.
All right. I'm going to say 2-1. Philly wins in extra time. Now, Morgan.
Yeah,
your
hi,
Crew
Matt.
Prediction.
Oh. Columbus Cruisers FC, Soccer Ball, Crew Cat, Kickers. zero soccer goals. New York Metro Star / Jersey Stars, Metro Stars, 2. Back to you, Alex.
Alex.
2-2. Two, two.
All right, Greg.
1-1.
You guys are making it difficult for me because I'm going to have to go with... I'm going to go with 0-0. Damn. I'm going to go with 0-0. I just it's hitting me in that sort of weird way. Sam is shaking his head.
You think the Crew finally shut someone out for the first time since Chicago?
Yeah, and then they get shut out as well because that's our.
Well, life. I mean, yeah, but still, it's been a long, long time since
I know.
Steve Clark kept a clean sheet.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
My 5-year-old has an easier time keeping clean sheets than.
We'll see what happens. This has been another edition, folks, of the Massive Reports. Everybody on the show tonight.
Finally,
Greg,
a smile.
Stop talking about your children again, Greg. God. For Morgan, for Alex, for Sam, for Greg, my name is Matt Goshard. This has been another edition of the Massive Report. It's brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. You know when you started getting invited to your 10-year reunion, time's catching up. Are you talking about a sense of my own mortality or a fear of death? Well, I never really thought of it quite like that. Did you go to yours? Yes, I did. It was as if everyone had swelled.
Rough night at the office.